Let's pray, and then we will dive into tonight's topic. Father, I thank you again for bringing us here. I thank you for the opportunity to speak and hang out with all of these students, Lord. I thank you for each of them being intentional to take time out of their busy weeks to be here. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us tonight. I pray that you would help us to have good conversation, ask good questions, and give us the wisdom to have good answers, Father. Thank you for providing this place for us to be able to meet, Lord, and in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so week two of our Asking for a Friend series. This week, we're talking about what is truth. We're going to talk about how do you interact with other worldviews that you come in contact with. But before we get there, a quick review of where we were last week. So we were talking about apologetics. Apologetics means being ready to defend your faith, being able to defend what you believe in. And we said last week that as Christians, we must be able to defend our faith. We looked at Timothy, we looked at some of Peter, we looked at Jude, and they shared with us that we always need to be ready to give a defense, that we need to contend for the faith with gentleness and respect, and that we do these things to both encourage other believers, bless you, and point unbelievers to the gospel. So again, every talk we have the rest of the semester, we're going to be building on that base. Every question we talk about, we're building on top of so that we know, hey, how do I answer this question for a friend who might have it? How do I interact with someone out in the world outside of my Christian bubble that might have these genuine questions? We also do this so that you guys can answer doubts that you have, so that you can build confidence in your own faith, in your own ability to share with people, and ultimately, so that you can change the lives of those who you're around. So tonight we're talking about what is truth. The dictionary gives us two definitions nowadays. The dictionary says truth is that which is accepted as true, or truth is that which corresponds to reality. If you look at this carefully and you think about it carefully, you realize this is saying two different things. This definition of truth can't be reconciled with itself. The first, that which is accepted to be true, that can change with culture. Look at our culture. Look at how much has changed just in your lifetimes, whether it's on identity, whether it's on questions of morality, whether it's on questions of what does marriage mean, whether it's on questions of abortion. All of these things have changed just in your lifetime. So if that which is true is that which corresponds or that which is accepted as true, then what's true doesn't remain the same. It's not consistent. The second definition, on the other hand, that which corresponds to reality, tells us that truth is unchanging. There's a reality out there that doesn't change. The world doesn't change. God has set it up so that it doesn't change in its fundamental actions. So tonight we're going to try and look at both of these questions and come to a conclusion. Which of these is actually true and why does it matter? We're going to start with a little story. Some of you may be familiar with this analogy. Some of my friends from Mars Hill who have dealt with this before are holding their heads in their hands, shrieking in agony over here. Okay, maybe you did it today. Perfect. You get a different perspective on it then. All right, so a Greek philosopher named Plato loved to talk about a cave. And this cave, he says, there are people who are chained down at the bottom. These people have never seen the outside world. They've never seen reality. Instead, they've grown up, they've lived their whole lives in the bottom of this cave. Behind them cycle through people who have seen reality. They hold up sticks, which have an image of a tree, or an image of a fire, or an image of a frog. And they tell the people on the other side of the wall, hey, this image that you can see because of the fire, this is a tree. This is what a tree actually looks like. This is a vase. This is what a vase actually looks like. This is corn. This is what actually corn is, and so on and so forth. Now, these people down here, They have no idea that this isn't really a tree. They have no idea that this isn't really corn or this isn't really a vase, because that's all they know. Meanwhile, Plato talks about people who escape the cave. They're able to make it out, and they make it out into the real world. And they see the actual sun. They see real corn. They see real vases. They see real trees. They're able to understand what reality actually is because they now can see it. And you might say, okay, what does this have to do with what we're talking about tonight? This is what our culture does. Our culture likes to put us down here in this cave. They like to tell us, hey, truth is what we say it is. Pay no attention to the real world. Pay no attention to the functions that people have believed. Pay no attention to the traditions that you've grown up with, whether that's to do with faith or just other traditions. Instead, they say, hey, you know what's more comfortable? Just sit down here. We'll tell you what truth is. You don't actually need to know a tree, because what we're showing you is actually a tree. You don't actually need to know truth about X, Y, or Z. What we're telling you is truth about X, Y, or Z. So many of the culture, both Christians and non-Christians, we sit down here. We're content to just say, hey, this is comfortable. I want to fit in. I want to be like everyone else. I want to sit in my little cave and let TikTok tell me what is truth. Let my friends tell me what is truth. Let my television shows tell me what is truth, because it's comfortable. Everyone I know is like me. But this is not what God actually calls us to. So as we talk tonight, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind. Some other stories. These come from experiences that I have had and many of my friends have had. Some of you may have heard this phrase. Our culture has kind of moved on from it a little bit. If you were thinking and having these conversations about 12 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, you would have heard this a lot. Oh, yeah, Christianity might be true for you, but that's not my truth. That's your truth. You can have your truth. That's fine. I have my truth. Let's just be friends. Let's coexist. Let's be peaceful. If any of you remember from when you were little, there used to be a bumper sticker that said coexist. That was very popular. That was all the different religious symbols lining up to spell that word. Because about 10, 15 years ago, that's what people wanted to do. They wanted to say, oh, every religion can all be true or false at once. Just coexist. Be together. And then culture realized, oh, wait, they actually contradict each other, so maybe that doesn't make sense. So we got to the point where we said, oh, you can have your truth, I'll have my truth, we'll all just plug our ears and go la 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 and not hear anyone else's truth. But we've gotten to the point where that wasn't convenient anymore. And so now we're at the point where our culture, unfortunately, we live in a culture that often tells us, no, we're accepting. You can have your truth, but actually it needs to line up with this very narrow standard. And if it's not what's culturally acceptable, you'll be canceled, or you'll be quieted, or people won't listen to you. Another thing that goes hand in hand with this that you might hear is, okay, well, you don't believe in, or you believe abortion's wrong, or you believe that God created the universe, or you don't believe in evolution. That's fine, that's your philosophical belief, but that's not true. Because science tells us that the earth was created millions and millions of years ago. Science tells us that everything evolved from one little atom that came about in the Big Bang. Science tells us this, science tells us that. These two worldviews, these two statements, people repeat, and they've repeated so much that they've in themselves become their own worldviews. We frequently call this naturalism and scientism. Naturalism is the belief that whatever nature says, whatever you feel about yourself, whatever your human nature tells you, that's what's true for you. So if your human nature tells you, hey, you're not actually a girl because you feel like being a boy, that's fine. That's your truth. People might object to that, but you got to stick to your identity. You have to stick to your truth. If nature tells you that, hey, you know what? you don't have to listen to your parents because you know better than them. Your parents might disagree, but they're living in their own truth. You have your own truth, and you need to be true to that. And in fact, if your parents really don't do what you want them to do, just don't talk to them, or call the police on them, or call Child Protective Services. Yes, these things happen in our culture. Scientism goes hand in hand with naturalism, but instead it's focused on science. It says, oh, well, science says this. Science believes that. Those of you who go to public schools, you're probably taught that evolution is how things came to be. Thing is, even scientists still call it the theory of evolution. A theory in science is something that's never been proved. It's postulated, but it's not actually proven. So this appeal to scientism oftentimes either assumes that theories are true or it is illogical. It says, hey, your identity can be whatever you want it. And they'll say, listen to the science, but then if your actual human biology tells you something different than what you believe, scientism doesn't know how to reconcile that. So what does logic say to this? We'll get to what the Bible says in a second. But logically, how can something be true and something exactly opposite to it also be true? It contradicts. I cannot both be older than Christian and younger than Christian at the same time. Logically, that can't exist. You cannot both be told this is who you're supposed to be and think something opposite and those both be true. So there has to be some sort of truth. Gravity can't both scientifically exist, but also you say, I don't think gravity exists. I don't feel like gravity exists. Ultimately, gravity actually does exist. We're all standing or sitting on the ground. But thankfully, we don't just have to rely on logic. Logic can be faulty. Sometimes people can't argue from logic well. Thankfully, we have an ultimate authority, and that is Scripture. We're going to be looking a lot at John tonight because John's gospel, he records a lot of Jesus' conversations about truth. So from John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He expands on this further in John 14, verse 7. His disciple Thomas asks him, Jesus, how can we actually follow you? Jesus has just told them he's going to go die on the cross. He's like, well, you said you were coming in to declare your kingdom. How can we follow you if you go to die? And Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What Jesus is saying here in both these passages is there is a truth. There is an ultimate truth that we need to know. And he tells us how to get there. If you abide in my word. You see, guys, we are fortunate. So many people ask, well, how can you actually know what God says? Does God actually speak to you individually? Do you actually get messages from God? It's right here. This is the truth. This is infallible. This tells us everything we know for how to navigate this life. Jesus' words are contained in here. This is the truth. This is how we come to the Father, through knowing this. And Jesus says the truth will set us free. What will it set us free from? It'll set us free from the faulty logic. It'll set us free from the arguments of people saying, oh, you can have your truth, I'll have my truth. They don't need to reconcile. They can both be true at the same time. No, Jesus' ultimate truth, it sets us free from that cave. It pulls us out from just looking at the pictures, from just listening to what culture tells us. And it pulls us out and shows us the trueness of reality. It shows us that, yes, there is sin in this world. That's why the world's so messed up. Yes, we are all fallen sinners, but yes, there is a way to be redeemed. And it's through the free gift that Jesus has given us. He takes this a little bit further. Because even with this, we can't do it on our own. So in John 16, verses 13 and 14, Again, Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he leaves them. He says, "But he, when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you all into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come." For those of us who are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. He prompts us to follow the truth. He prompts us to live out the truth. He prompts us, when we're in the Word, to study the Word, to stay close to this. And the Holy Spirit is also the one that prompts us when we have these conversations with our friends, which we all will have in the culture we live in today. He's the one who gives us the wisdom and the words to say to those people. Each and every one of you in here, whether you go to a Christian school now and you've never had a conversation about truth outside of a class where they've said, "Hey, here's what people think through it," or outside of a sermon like this, or if you go to a public school, or you work outside of the Christian bubble, and you have had these interactions, each one of us will have these interactions throughout our lives because this is something culture is more and more concerned about. Our culture is not becoming more unified. I'm not saying this to discourage you guys. I'm saying this to prepare you guys. That's why you're here. That's why your leaders are here, so that we can help you prepare for when you're outside of your parents' homes, outside of your Christian schools or Christian environments. You will encounter people who rebut the truth. You will encounter people who say that Christianity is not true. Or, at the very least, say, "Oh, that's fine, you can believe that, but I don't believe it, and it's not true. It might be true for you, but it's not actual true." Deep down, each and every human being, we long for truth. There is a reason Jesus says the truth will set us free, because that's what we're longing for. We are all, deep down, sitting down here, waiting to be pulled up here. We all want something that can pull us away from the images of truth. We want something that can present us the real truth. Think about it. Think about how when you have a day where maybe you're off school or you get home late and you just spend hours, whether it's scrolling through TikTok or playing video games or binging 8 hours of a Netflix show, none of those things in and of themselves are bad, but those things aren't fulfilling. If you're anything like me and anything like a lot of my friends who have talked about this, you don't feel great after doing that usually. Something's missing. Because we haven't been interacting with the truth, we've been interacting with the images of the truth. So, as we go from here in small groups, we're going to examine more of these passages in depth. We're going to talk about what's really true and go from there. I'm going to close us in prayer, and then I'm going to open the floor, actually, if anyone has any questions that we want to talk about in the large group format before we go to small groups. So, let's pray, and we'll discuss. Father, I thank you that you are the Lord of truth. I thank you that your Son speaks the truth. I thank you that your Holy Spirit guides us in the truth. I thank you, Lord, that in a culture that is constantly confused about what's true and what can we actually believe and how should we actually live, I thank you, Lord, that you have been gracious enough to give us the answer to those things. And Father, I pray that each and every one of these students, Lord, whether they know the truth or whether they're searching, whether they're confused, whether they're conflicted, Lord, I pray that they would come to find the truth. I pray that our discussions tonight would help illuminate that. I thank you again, Lord, for just your word and for giving it to us. I thank you for not leaving us in the bottom of the cave. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.